More of Lake Effect now from the Wee Energies Energies Park right here on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. We are at the Wisconsin State Fair this morning and on a stage that for our next guest is her regular habitat for the nearly 2 weeks of the fair. Melinda Myers is Lake Effect gardening contributor, but she is also the author of numerous books that help people around the Midwest and the country beautify their yards and or their balconies and grow food, and also star of television and a big star on this stage as well.
Very much so. It's a perfect fit to be joined this morning by Melinda Myers, fresh from her induction into the Garden Writers Hall of Fame. Congratulations on that, Melinda.
Thank you.
That was just a couple of days ago. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's always great to be here and chat gardening.
So every year there is a theme to this space here in Energy Park. Can you tell us what inspired the landscape that's around us right now? Because you're intimately involved with growing things and this beautiful space that's been going in for a while now.
You bet. We Energies has been very generous with giving me some liberties to help create this beautiful garden. And the Wisconsin Landscape Contractors Association, Milwaukee Metro Chapter, and the Commercial Flower Growers of Wisconsin help beautify. So we have a lot of people contributing. And our goal is to look for ways to help people have fun but be successful in their garden. Some tips and things that they can come to the garden, not only enjoy this green oasis in the state fair, but also go, oh, I could do that at home, or this is a great idea. So we change up the theme. We're always looking for energy efficiency, of course, because I'm at We Energy, but they give me a lot of liberties. And if you grow your own food, you're really reducing consumption of fuel, because food travels, 1,500, 1,800 miles from the source to our kitchen table. So this is one way we can have better flavor, more nutrition, and reduce energy consumption. Plus, once you've had a tomato fresh from the garden, it's hard to go back.
I noticed there's some growing right over there hanging
see,
from the
yes,
pot.
Yes, I see. Yes. What, banana peppers
and a
here?
Banana pepper, exactly. So I'm a container gardener forever. I lived in the city for 26 years with a small city lot, and so I can really sympathize with the lack of space. I have more room now, but I still do containers. I love to have food right outside my kitchen door, because you know what? You're cooking, you forget that basil, so you can run right out and get it, or you want to bring the hummingbirds and butterflies right to your living room window, so when you're sitting inside or fixing food, look out the kitchen and see that wildlife.
There is something to be said for in the middle of this big concrete area where people are buying cream puffs and stuff fried on a stick, that there is stuff growing here that will also end up on people's plates.
You bet. So we cover the nutritional end of things before it gets fried. So, you know, helping people find those cultivars that are beautiful to put in their flower gardens but tasty to put into their stomachs. So, you know, we all break our diets every once in a while. If I did a cream puff a day, however, I would be rolling on the stage. But, you know, there's peppers and tomatoes and kale and Swiss chard that's pretty and edible. And so we're trying to give you ideas of how you can include that, because you find if you grow the vegetables or kids grow vegetables, they're more likely to eat them. And that goes for adults. I meet a lot of adults that don't eat their vegetables, but once they start growing them, they're more likely to at least have some of those and clean off their plate.
Well, the taste is just so much better.
It is. It's like nothing you've had if you haven't had homegrown vegetables or fresh from the farmer's market.
You have lots of folks who come and see your twice daily presentations. Are you getting specific questions this year that might be a little different from what you usually get?
You know, Japanese beetles are always popular. Every session I've had someone ask, because they are a pretty big pest.
Or maybe they're unpopular.
I think they're unpopular. That's a good point. And tomatoes. And since we're focusing on food, I answer questions on anything garden related. Tomatoes with our crazy weather, you know, cool temperatures and high temperatures. We had both this summer. Sometimes interferes with pollen development and viability. And so some people are seeing lots of green tomatoes and waiting for them to ripen, which always seems to be a yearly problem, but maybe have great plants that are just now starting to flower and fruit. So the rain, the weather, every year makes it a little different, but that's what's exciting about gardening.
You know, when we think of landscaping, we think of the decorative plants as the ones that beautify our yard. Is there anything mutually exclusive about growing food and having a garden that is aesthetically pleasing?
No, not at all. You know, and I think a lot of the breeders are really helping us because there's more compact varieties, those with more decorative fruit, so they fit in nicely with your flower gardens. You know, instead of a shade tree or crab apple, and I love crab apples, but how about a real apple that you can harvest? I have a crop of peaches ready to harvest at home. And
you did not bring us any.
I'm sorry. I was running late. I'll have to drop them off at the studio and pay penance. But one of the nice things is, you know, it's not the crop you're going to have bushels and bushels for many years, but when you have a peach right from the tree, it's worth all the effort.
There are people growing things like figs here now, too.
I've had good success. I lost mine over winter, but that's part of gardening. But I had them for about 5 years. And the cool part is you can either bring them in for the winter, or the hardy Chicago hardy fig or brown turkey are hardy in our area, so you can plant them outside in a sheltered location. And how fun is that, you know, to be able to take your guest out and bring figs fresh from the garden and serve them up?
I've got a strange question that just occurred to me because I've been growing vegetables this year and fruits, and they're going crazy. I catch myself talking to them.
Cleveland Baxter would be proud. This was a guy back in the 80s, I've been around for a while, who did write a book about talking to your plants. He swears it makes a difference. I figure if you're talking to your plants, you care enough about them to tend them properly. So whether you and he are right or a little crazy, either way, you're going to have a good harvest. And at gardening, not only is the nutritional value there, but there's research that shows it lowers blood pressure. It elevates your mood. Kids have less problems with ADHD symptoms, and girls are more confident when raised in a landscape environment. So it does good things beyond what we eat.
Is there a particular connection that you feel with the agricultural tradition that forms the backbone of a state fair? I mean, this is not, you know, growing acres of crop of corn or soybeans or you know, some major cash crop. What do you feel is your connection here to what the fair is all about?
Well, you know what? I think we're the segue. So for an urban gardener that maybe has never visited a farm, they may have raised a tomato in a pot, or maybe I can inspire them to do just that. And they come to this beautifully landscaped area, and once you start gardening, you have a greater appreciation for what the farmers go through. I mean, you know, if insects take out my home garden or we get flooded out, it's a bad day, but that's not my livelihood. I can go somewhere and purchase my food, and I still am going to get a paycheck from my company. But if I'm a farmer, it's bad news. So I think gardening helps us appreciate what the farmers do. It gets us in tune with nature. And I think we're so removed from nature so often with our computers and being in the house that it connects us to that. And my uncles and my dad were farmers, so I have that connection myself. So the fair for me, it's about the agriculture first and foremost. And then this garden allows me to kind of bring that urban influence in.
Are you finding that there are specific things to this growing season that people, we talked a little bit about it, but I was thinking my basil plants are just being eaten alive. Is that the Japanese beetles?
Japanese beetles, yeah. Love the basil. The other thing is all the rain that many of us have experienced. If you have heavy soil, you may see some rotting problems. You look at our gardens, they're prolific. We've got some really good soil we've worked on for years, so all this moisture has helped them be bigger than ever before. So the moisture's been good for some, a little too much for others. The fluctuating temperatures and the cool, wet spring, we're seeing some disease issues, but overall, the plants and the weeds, of course, are doing great.
So any way to mitigate some of those issues for a home gardener?
You know, I think this fall, if you did have moisture problems and flooding, add organic matter. Shred up your fall leaves. Dig them into those annual flower beds. You'll greatly improve the soil. Adding organic matter, whether it's compost or the raw material in fall so it breaks down over winter, is a great way to improve moisture absorption so we have less runoff, but also improve drainage so you have less standing water.
We're chatting in the middle of August, and you know, we look over here and the tomatoes are small and not quite ripe yet, and I'm thinking of the tomatoes in my yard, and they are larger but still not quite ripe yet. So we're thinking of the things that we're going to be picking in the coming weeks. But are there things that we can still be putting into the ground in August?
Oh, you bet. This is still, there's plenty of time to plant. And so one of the things, think of the plants that like it cool, radishes, lettuce, spinach. Those are things that really do better in cooler temperatures. And most of them are ready in 30, 40 or less days. Our average fall frost for fall, first fall frost is usually the third week in October in southeast Wisconsin. Now that can vary from year to year, but that's still about 70 days left. So you can plant, there's baby kale that's ready in about 25 or 30 days, so you could plant it, harvest it, and if you're learning to embrace the flavor of kale, baby kale's a good way to start.
I was going to say, I like the baby kale. It's wonderful if you chop it up in omelets.
It is, and yeah. So it's a little milder, so if you can't handle the big kale.
It was a kale fan that just drove
exactly.
by.
I'm sorry, I was slandering kale here.
It can be bitter, but if you cook it right, and it also makes wonderful chips.
Exactly. Anything fried right or baked
or
and
baked
salted.
In this
yes,
case,
and
yeah.
baked. We're going to
yes.
keep it healthy.
Keep it healthy.
Some of us find it makes wonderful compost.
Even Dr. Zorba Pester does,
yes.
too. And I think when you harvest spinach and lettuce and radishes in the fall, the flavor's much better and milder. It's not as bitter as when we harvest in the heat of the summer, if the plant survived the heat.
So we mentioned this in the intro. You were just inducted into the Garden Writers Hall of Fame in Buffalo over the weekend. And as you said, the Hall of Fame itself is maybe more of a virtual thing. But can you talk about the tricks of the garden writing trade that you have picked up over the years? When you think about the first garden books that you wrote, you know, some years ago, and the kinds of stuff that you're writing today, what's changed for you? How has it gotten easier or harder?
You know, thank you. And I have to thank all my media partners and We Energy and all the people that have helped me get the word out, because, you know, I could talk all that I want, but if nobody's out there listening, it's not going to help. I remember my first book I wrote and thinking, I write articles all the time. This is a piece of cake. Oh, my. It was not a piece of cake. I really credit my success with my books to the gardeners, because I go out and speak, and gardeners are so generous and share ideas and tips that and ask questions. So I try to focus my efforts on what gardeners need and want to know. Now with social media, you know, it's bite-sized bits of information. And our radio and TV tips are 54 seconds. And people go, really? What can you do in 54 seconds? Well, you guys know you can get a lot of information and keep people's attention for 54 seconds. I still love the long format of speaking to groups. But I also realize we're all busy. And sometimes we need an answer. And so I really continue to focus on answering people's questions, getting timely tips out. And a lot of the digital world is allowing me to do that. So people who are up at 3 in the morning, that's usually when I do my research, they can get the answers they need.
I mean, I was just going to say.
Yeah. The Twitter feed, the gardening Twitter feed.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yep. And it's a great way to just kind of, oh, that's a cool idea. I need to try it. Pinterest, if you want to get some ideas for container combinations, there's lots of ideas out there on the internet.
Do you come out of the state fair your times here with ideas that you take out of this space to your own yard?
Oh, you bet. You know, this is a great place to try things. I like to see how the gardens do. We've got plans to do a little renovation, because you can see the plants are doing a little too well in some places. And then also the planters on the fairgrounds are gorgeous. And so I look at those combinations as well. So I love to do the green and growing garden walk, because then I take ideas home for my own garden and to share with others.
I think we have time for one more question. And I get what... We'll do a quick question first. How many years have you been coming to the State Fair?
Okay, we keep forgetting. It's over 15. It's either 15 or 17. I need to look in my records. But it's been quite a few, and I'm very grateful. It's always been fun.
So aside from your own presentations and the time you spend in this energy park space, what are your favorite memories and the things that you always want to do in, you know, the copious amount of downtime you have?
You know, I love taking my grandkids through the animal barns, because that's what I did as a child. And a quick story, my granddaughter wanted to pet a cow, and I said, well, you have to ask the owner. So she goes up, she was 3 at the time, can I pet your cow? And the farmer goes, what, you want to buy it? And she goes, no, I just want to pet it. And so it was a great moment that she got to relate to that farmer, pet his cow, and a great memory for all of us to take on for years to come.
That's great. Well, Melinda Myers, garden expert, Lake Effect gardening contributor, and author of numerous books on gardening, thank you so much. Stick around on stage, because we're going to have all of our guests come back in just a moment. You're listening to Lake Effect from the State Fair on Milwaukee Public Radio.